May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 928. Thou, sinners, advocate with God, my only trust is in thy blood, thou all-atoning Lamb. The virtue of thy death impart, speak comfort to my drooping heart, and tell me all thy name. Hymn 928.
Tonight, out of God's most holy word, you can find in Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. As far as the reading of God's most holy word, may he add his blessing and teach us to pray. Most holy and sovereign God, O thou who dwells in heaven, and look down even now, Lord, upon us. For thy pure and holy eyes see all things as they are, and thou lookest even into the very inner recesses of each of our hearts. O Lord, we tremble before thee, and we beg, Lord, that thou would give us a true worshiping spirit tonight. For thou art holy and reverent. Oh, we would beg thee, Lord, to give us that godly fear and that humility of spirit as we come into the throne of grace. And we do approach thee, O Lord God, who art the one and only true God. We would pour out our soul's needs unto thee and beg thee, thou most gracious God, thou who art high and holy and infinitely wise and eternally just, and yet, Lord, gracious and full of loving kindnesses, immeasurable, incomprehensible, merciful and gracious God. And we, Lord, all such wicked, wretched sinners, there's no good within us. Though we feel our poverty, and yet we may come. For thou hast even said, come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain that grace, mercy, and help, and grace to help in time of need. And Lord, the time of need is even now. Oh, that thou would come and touch our hearts, that thou, Lord, might visit us and apply the word with power into our souls, that we may be melted in true contrition of spirit. Lord, we beg thee to grant us faith to touch the hem of yon lovely man. Oh, thy glorious Son, Jesus Christ, in whom thou wast so well pleased. Lord, we beg of thee to give us that sight of him. Oh, the joy in our souls of seeing the beauty of our beloved Saviour and wonderful husband and friend, our lover of all times and comforter of all in all distresses. O Lord, we beg thee that we might be given those graces from heaven, and that would send thy Holy Spirit tonight and indite the poor man to speak and to give words of in prayer, to come before thee, Lord, that thou in mercy might remember us. Oh, we pray that thou would touch the hearts of every hearer. For, Lord, the work is thine. It needs almighty power united with love and mercy. For thy goodness' sake, Lord, remember us. Bring us into that narrow way. Lord, show us that we are thy children, called from the never-begun eternity, drawn to the feet of that beloved Savior, led in the ways of that narrow path and given that precious gift of faith to believe. Persuaded, Lord, that the things of heaven are better than the things of this earth. Lord, we beg, give us eyes to see tonight. Oh, remember thy church that gathers here. Favor them, Lord, with thy rich and sacred blessings. Unite them in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Give that unfeigned humility, that care and prayer for one another's needs and concerns, and to become the least of all saints. That thou might remember our cause, that thou remember thy servants and the one of those ministers in our midst, even, Lord, that thou might remember each of them and their needs and all their wants, that thou, Lord, might visit and touch their hearts and bless their souls, comfort them and guide them in their pathways they walk in, pathways that may be of darkness or sickness, that thou, Lord, might bless, that thou, Lord, might comfort and give, oh, that faith, that love unto thee, thou gracious and long-suffering God, that thou might be pleased to prosper the ministry, and grant yet, Lord, that multitudes might yet be turned in. Oh, Lord, in mercy, remember our cause and all thy servants that preach thy precious word. Lord, poor earthen vessels they are remain, and weak and helpless and poor itself. But do enrich in them with thy presence and touch their tongue, that they might preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with boldness and with love. Give them that concern for fellow mankind, and grant them, Lord, the forehead of flint to preach thy precious word, fearing no man. Lord, we beg, and that thy presence might be known, and thy blessings seen in our midst. Thou, the Almighty God, oh, that thou would extend thy kingdom and break down Satan's kingdom. Draw into thy marvelous kingdom now, Lord, we plead, in this dark day. Oh, how we need thy presence, thy sustaining arm, thy care for us. Lord, in mercy, remember us. Lord, we set before thee this congregation, their needs. Oh, those in trials and those in troubles, those that feel the afflictions of body and mind, and those with heavy burdens too heavy to carry. Lord, that they may be sanctified troubles, the means of melting the heart and turning to Christ Jesus. Oh, to see the loveliness of Jesus Christ, the beloved physician, to heal in every distress and power to deliver from every enemy. Lord, that they may be blessed yet in these trials and to sing the praises of that matchless mercy in Christ, and it might prove to be a light affliction that worketh a far more eternal weight of glory in their souls. Lord, do remember this nation. We plead that thou might remember this nation and ours together. Oh, we have to confess our sins, our poverty, our wretchedness. Lord, we are only worthy to be cast out of thy sight in righteous indignation. But thou art a gracious and long-suffering God, and able to perform wonders, and hast done it all through the course of history. Grant, Lord, that we might be turned back unto thy word. O, as the Ninevites, to repent according unto that word preached unto us as a nation. Stir up men, Lord, that like Jonah might go preach that gospel and proclaim that news of the need of repentance. In mercy, Lord, remember us, sunk in sin and shame. Lord, we do beg that thou might remember those that translate thy word. And we beg, Lord, that thou might send it throughout this earth and prosper it, that there may be a people whose hearts can be touched by the hand of God, by thy hand, Lord, that hunger after that word, that find instruction therein, that it might be the joy and rejoicing of their souls. Lord, that I might prosper thee and those translators as they translate that word, and bless them with thy spirit. Oh, have mercy, Lord, on the feeble efforts of man, and cause that thy name may be known throughout this earth. Lord, we turn unto thee again to thank thee. For truly, Lord, thou hast not dealt with us according unto our sins. And oh, we can say, Lord, oh, such wretched sinners we are. How gracious thou art unto us, and so undeserving we are of thy mercies. And we thank thee that tonight again we may gather around thy word, and that thou hast given us a throne of grace, and that blessed Jesus Christ who reigns in heaven to hear the prayers of poor sinners, to wash in his precious blood, and to make acceptable according to that great advocate and mediator in heaven. Oh, blessed Jesus, do hear then our poor prayers and petitions, and wash them in thy blood, and sanctify our gathering together tonight. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, thou hast truly called the church out of this world into thy marvelous light, and declared them sons and daughters, a people who cannot resist thy power, a people who shall be drawn to the feet of Jesus Christ and taste of thy loving kindness. O wondrous themes, O Lord of thy mercy, oh, that they might ring in our souls with thankfulness for the great wonder that thou hast performed in reconciling ungodly sinners unto thyself in the merits of thy dear Son. We thank thee for that precious work of Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinners, the spotless righteousness that Christ has wrought upon earth and granted to his filthy and vile bride, drawn her unto himself and enabled her to persevere upon the way. Oh, that precious suffering of Christ in his glorious death, where he laid upon himself the sins of his people, endured thy wrath against their sins, conquered death and hell, his glorious death and resurrection power, breaking the bands of death and hell, and breathing life into his saints. Oh, Lord, his resurrection power is a glorious ascension, where he reigns even now forever and ever at thy right hand. A precious Spirit to teach these precious truths within our hearts. And Lord, we beg tonight that we may bow down in adoration unto thee for these precious gifts. Make them known unto our souls. Grant, Lord, that we might leave this house of prayer different than we came in. Oh, touch our hearts, we pray, with thy own blessed self, that we might be moved and stirred and walk in the gospel way. Oh, Lord, grant that we might see Jesus. In his precious name we ask all these things. Amen.
Hymn 943. The God of grace delights to hear the plaintive cry, the humble prayer. Nor shall the weakest saint complain that he has sought the Lord in vain. Hymn 943.
desperately feeling to need the Lord's help again tonight, I draw your prayerful attention to Psalm 25, verse 7. Psalm 25, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Beloved friends, we have tonight a psalm of David. Oh, how David did need his beloved Lord, the Almighty God and his glorious Son Jesus Christ, to lead him, to guide him and direct him in the paths of life, and in the circumstances in which the Most High God was pleased to lead him. And how David was exceedingly tried in some very great extremities of life, we would say, the dreadful effects of sin in his own weak flesh. Oh, how David had to lament at times in his life what a sinful creature he had been. And we would speak tonight as the Lord may enable us and lead us into this theme, in the remembering both negatively and then positively. Remembering first the low estate of David and the solemn realizations that have been shown to him of who he truly was. And that through the entire stage of his life is the stage, we say, upon which David walked upon the face of the earth. That David was constantly reminded of his sinful existence and the weakness of his flesh. How time after time David was plunged into adversity. He was truly a sign, of the struggling church and of the conquering church, how he felt the dreadful effects of sin working within him. And in various scenes we find David brought ever so low on account of his own weakness and poverty. And yet the graciousness and goodness of God was pleased to sustain him. And when David was brought into those places of very deep and sincere repentance and humbled in the dust on account of who he truly was, or that he began to seek the Lord and to call upon him, and that his mercy might be extended to him, and that he might be lifted out of the dust, out of the dunghill. Our youth, remember me now. Remember not the sins of my youth. How dreadful many times is the stage of our youth, the time of our youth. Many of us can attest to the fact that we have sunk in sin and shame and have engaged in the sinful ways of this world with lust and relish. We had not one eye upon the Most High God, nor one iota of fear to the Most High God. Our eyes were closed to the reality of who this Most High God was. And if a fear we possessed, it was a fear that we could not have enough of the lust of this world. All the sins of our youth, oh, have mercy, friends, when the Blessed Spirit might open up our eyes to see that in remembrance as he sets forth the catalogue so often of what we have done in our youth. We feel it, in a sense, our duty to remind over and over again as we address the young adults of the danger of the world. And the weakness of our own hearts, that there is no resistance to this world in our unregeneracy. It is a mercy, friends, that we can come in with David and say, oh, my sinful youth, how I've engaged in the paths of sin and sported with death and with the temptations of Satan. Friends, has the Lord touched our hearts in the sense of David? And to see what we have done, and to see and the torments that are on account of our sinful youth. Job had a similar experience. In Job 13 we read that the Lord visited Job. Thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to remember the iniquities of my youth. Job was so touched by the hand of God as he exercised him in who he had been. It's a mercy, dear friends, if the Lord stops us. Thou fool. I remember that in my own experience, in my own life, as the Lord touched my heart and stopped me to show me that I was going the way of sin and damnation and showed me the recklessness of my spirit, the exceeding evil of my pathway, the blindness of my eyes, and no desire to seek Jesus. To have spoken with such a solemnity into our souls and a witness unto our conscience, thou fool. Remember not, the Lord sets before us are the youth we would say, in that without Christ, that youth in which we lived desperately against his ways, seeking, if we were desperate friends, it was a sense that God would not find us. Going on and on, and we spoke of it last night, of sin abounding, of John Newton himself admitting he'd gone on in that mad career. Friends, have we ever had that opening up of our youth, the sins of our youth, that we have to come with David, who says, O Lord, unto thee I cry and lift up my soul. Remember not the sins of my youth, for they do but condemn me. Oh, they write bitter things against my soul. They stamp death upon my forehead. Eternal death and eternal condemnation is my just due and desert to my soul. Negatively then, remember not, Lord, my deeds upon this earth and my youth. Oh, how I have not heeded thy ways nor obeyed thy commandments. No time for God, no time for real religion. No time for repentance. No time for the true gospel of Jesus Christ. No desire for that blessed, precious blood of Jesus Christ. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not my transgressions. Friends, perhaps you may say the message has been over and over. They've been an emphasizing of our sins and transgressions. A wretched state outside of Jesus Christ and the great need to be born again. And the need that we must feel the power of God in our souls to stop us in that pathway of hell and destruction. David, in this psalm and throughout all the psalms that he wrote, knew that he needed one thing and one thing alone, that it was the blood of Jesus Christ, the dear Savior, to stand between God and him. There was that one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom to all that may be testified in due time. And David saw, if Jesus Christ did not stand between the high God and this wretched, vile sinner, he would be utterly condemned and completely destroyed. Does, friends, the awareness of such a sight of our soul make us need the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know what the truth and reality of this soul? The only hope I have is if the Lord might have mercy on me. The good God, the gracious God, he says it in this psalm, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. God is good and God is gracious. But God cannot bring, dear friends, into his presence this wretched sinner on his own. Oh, sinner in our midst tonight, do you stand on your own account outside of this precious refuge? This mediator who gave himself a ransom? Has a witness of the Spirit revealed to you what you have done in the sight of God? Open, profane sinner, is there no shame of your acts? And secret sinner, do you think that God does not see you? Thine eyes, it said one of all, thine eyes, O God, seeth me. You think that God does not see you in your secret sins? Our pet sins? This black suit, beloved friends, does nothing does nothing to the heart. So often we say, it is a good thing that our forehead is not a window to the mind, to the thoughts of our mind. Oh, if we could see what lies within this mind, and I'm sure in each one of your minds, friends, the transgressions that daily occur there. We have to come on a humble knee and cry, O Lord, remember not my transgressions, my doubts, my vile affections, my wicked and evil thoughts, my perverse imaginations, oh, my reckless spirit and my lukewarmness so often, my coldness, my hardness to forgive my enemies. Oh, what transgressions daily swarm the mind, they infest the mind, how many they are. Oh, if God by his grace may prevent a child of God from the outward walk, they know that they are not free from the inward transgressions of the mind. And so they have to cry, O Lord, do not be pleased not to remember or to hold me in my own account. We sung it in that hymn, the precious blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me. And David in this chapter, he cries of a blood guiltiness. And you go back to Psalm 51. There is one who has been brought into remembrance. This David, Gill says that this psalm is written most likely at the time in which Absalom rebelled against him. Absalom rebelled against him. And let us take our minds back to the second book of Samuel, 2 Samuel 12. And what does it say in 2 Samuel 12, friends? Well, it gives an account of why David had an occasion to write this psalm. David had a visit. Oh, that we might have such a visit ourselves by the witness of the Spirit. David had a visit from a prophet of the Lord who had informed him of David's secret wickedness, of which he sought to hide from the nation of Israel in his filthy lusts. We would say his murderous intention. We do not say it in that fact that we are better than David. But this is given as an example unto us, dear friends, of what we are in our hearts and what we are of on our own left to ourselves. Where David could say from the depth of his heart, O Lord, look down, not down upon me from what I've done all my youth through to my very present time. At this very moment, Lord, yet my transgressions testify against me. If I do not have that blood to wash and cleanse me, I am utterly ruined. Nathan says this, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And then we turn to Psalm 51, dear friends. The remembrance of our sins, the remembrance of our transgressions and the guilt that comes from them. I've said that many times already since I've been here in the short durations. O Lord, if thou should mark iniquities, who can stand in thy sight? A remembrance of who we truly are in the sight of this holy God. Remember not my sins nor my transgressions. But there comes something accompanied, dear friends, with a solemn realization of what we are in the sight of God in our own flesh, in our own actions. So utterly defiled, so unable to defend ourselves against the temptations of Satan, to fall at the first moment that lust enters our eyes and we have no strength against it. And we have to cry again, O wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There is a real cry. When we see who we are, we sink in shame and disgrace. That word, this is a worthy saying, and this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. And then we have that wonderful word, of whom I am chief. And it only is a precious saying, friends, a wonderful saying, when we are touched in our hearts of the reality of this first point, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Heaven barred, and death opened up with his gates to summon us in. But a short string, a cut, and we fall away. Oh, who shall save me from my transgressions? Do you have such an urgent cry, or have you known such an urgent cry in your spirit? An offender of God, a transgressor of his word, a hater of his ways. And even now, oh, the child of God called by grace and drawn into the narrow way, and so often enticed by lust. How sad is our case, how deep is our fall in Adam. How great is our need, friends, to be brought to see something of this. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression. But it's not enough. We often say that at home we can talk all our life long about our wretchedness, about our sinfulness, about our degradation, about our filthiness and our inability to save ourselves. But, dear friends, it must bring us as creeping, crawling in the dust of a basement to cry for the goodness of God and the mercy of God. The Lord touches the hearts of his people that they might come with urgency, they might come with haste. They might crawl, they might creep on their hands and knees, they might limp, but they will come nonetheless under the footstool of mercy and beg for the presence of Jesus Christ to enter into the soul. And the theme that we have sung, the rich theme of the crucified Savior to enter savingly into their hearts. Let this blood guiltiness that David is remembering and David is confessing, that it might be removed and taken away, that he might find peace in his poor, troubled soul and rest for his guilty conscience and the one only means of Jesus Christ crucified. It comes again, we say it again, what think ye of the Christ is a test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless we think rightly of him. What do we think? Of the redemptive value of Jesus Christ and the blood he shed. What value, dear friends, you have at Gethsemane? The groaning, agonizing Savior as he looked with alarm. We would say it reverently as he pleaded with his Father, if it be willing, O Father, let this cup pass from me. This transgression that we're speaking of tonight, the sins from the very moment they exited the womb to the end, the very end of their life, and the sins that they inherited from Adam, all those sins, Jesus saw them. He saw the weight of them, and he groaned there, if it be possible, Father, that this cup may pass from me. Nevertheless, there is our peace in that word, nevertheless. Oh, that we might thank the goodness of God. And here we see something of the value of the goodness of God. The graciousness of the Most High God in giving of his favor and of his loving kindness unto poor fallen sons and daughters of man. Excuse me, of Adam. How great is that mercy no man can ever imagine in this time state, in a small finite mind that we possess. David said something, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And that dear Savior came willingly, lovingly, who despised the shame, enduring the cross for the joy that was set before him. This transgressing people, and we would say this ungrateful people, this unthankful people, who did not understand the value of that forgiveness of sins, who went on so often uncaring, we would say, or unthankful in so many ways of the matchless mercy of Jesus Christ and of God the Father in sending His Son? Have our hearts, beloved friends, been melted under such a theme of that crucified Jesus Christ? Who could cleanse such a black bride? Who could wash her clean? Though I wash thee with soap and nitre, nevertheless thou should never be clean. The filthiness, Isaiah said there in that chapter, the filthiness of the man was so filthy there was no soap upon earth, there was no fuller that could ever cleanse the filthiness of the bride. Except Him who came down from heaven and entered the womb of the Virgin Mary. Except Him who walked that spotless walk upon earth and performed that title of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That one written in the Epistle of John where it declares as the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And that sacred word we sung again tonight, the advocate of any man's sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. And how does it go on? And He's a propitiation not only for us, but for the whole world of His people. Each of His ones who've seen their sins and mourned it, and who come creeping to Jesus, begging for His mercy. Wash me and cleanse me, O thou precious Lamb of God. Have you known such a cry in your hearts, friends? Have we had such a need in our souls to become poor and empty to Christ and beg of Him? Lord, cleanse thou me, thou fountain of living waters. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. And then we have that positive way. But remember thou me. According to thy goodness, for thy goodness' sake, according to the abundance of thy mercy. Do we see such a value? Do we see such a value in the precious Savior? Have we had such a need to come before Him and set before Him an honest confession? Setting before the Lord all the deep necessities of our soul and why it is that we so desperately need the person of Christ in our lives? Ask a child of God whose heart's been touched by the reality of sin, he can testify, or she can testify to you of that great need. Of the desperate blackness of the heart that they possess. And when the blessed Spirit reveals such a solemn sight to your soul and to mine, we not only confess our sins, but we come to Christ that we may be cleansed of them. That we might receive the forgiveness of them and not that just one sin, but all of our sins, that they may be blotted out, that they might be removed in the fullness of them. Dear David is in that sense, a type of his cast out ones. They do two things, friends. This Most High God, they acknowledge before Him His justice. Against thee, He says, did He not? Against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. As if they might say, Lord, they fall before Him. They fall before the guillotine, so to speak, to say that they are only worthy of execution, of being cast out. According to His infinite justice and holiness. But they come with that, Psalm 130 again. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. They plead, Lord, grant that thy mercy may be communicated to my soul. All these sins are true. But an alarming sight there are in my conscience. How my conscience is smitten for what I have done against thee. But, O Lord, I know that thou art merciful and gracious. And how my soul longs for that communion with Christ. That blood, it cleanses with such a sufficiency, such a efficacy. That when that blood is applied, how precious the sight then is in that soul. I remember the Lord's visit to my own soul long ago, the blessing felt in the soul at that time. So we say, friends, we cannot stop with just the confession and acknowledgement of our sins. It must bring us to plead incessantly at the throne of grace for his appearance. The Lord will grant us the knowledge of that sin, but he will also give us that hidden faith and the tokens of his love, invisible tokens of his love, to draw us unto Jesus continually to plead over and over and again, over and over again, until he come and bless us. And at his own appointed time he comes. It may be that we wait long time for it. But of those to whom this truth of this text is known, who cannot come to the throne of grace and plead nothing but the mercy of God, for they deserve nothing else but to be cast out of his sight, that people humbled in the dust, and that's what in this psalm it says. It speaks of two characteristics in this people of whom the Lord will remember and teach. One, they are sinners, and two, they are meek. The meek will he guard in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. When we are truly exposed to the dreadfulness of the heart, and the scales of the eyes are opened up, the Lord will most certainly take every right of us away and set us in the ground as in a poor, abased sinner. Dear friends, have we learned to plead only the mercy of God, the tender mercies, the multitude of his loving kindnesses? We have no other hope. The Lord humbles us down into the dust, and we only cry, if so be, there may be hope. Who can tell that the Lord may yet have mercy? And the Lord stirs up that soul with a desire to press on, to continue at the throne of grace. They had well nigh stopped. They had well nigh given up hope. And the Lord then implants a little love and a little desire, a further desire to seek him. A deeper longing that they might be cleansed. A little sight of the yonder gate. A little hope in the loving kindness of God that they might press on. Remember me positively. Remember me, Lord, according to for thy goodness sake. The goodness sake of the Most High God, and the goodness of God in sending down his Son Christ. That most abused text that is so often abused in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How abused that text is so often. But dear friends, it was of the goodness of God that he truly loved the world in that sense, that both of Jew and Gentile might be drawn to the feet of Jesus Christ. And such a love he had to this fallen mankind that he knew that only his Son could save them and cleanse them from their sins. How can we ever then measure the goodness of God when we consider this? That all my life long, from my youth to the end of my life, all I do is sin against grace, against goodness, and against the favor of God. Look at Paul in Romans 7 when he said that. His life, his spiritual life, his spiritual growth in grace was given to him by God. For he says, the good that I would not, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. It's a multiplication of transgressions in our old man of the flesh. Ungrateful, unthankful of the goodness of God. But our spirit, friends, if we have that spirit of grace, that spirit of life, if we have the precious gift of the Holy Spirit within us, that brings us meek and humbled in the dust, and makes us plead, for thy mercy's sake, O Lord, remember my sins, for they are great. And then to see by faith, or have by faith, that blood applied. How profound that effect is to a tried and troubled sinner bowed down in the dust. Tell me, friends, have you felt the burden of sin? Have you been weighed down by the reality of the multitude of your sins? Have we agonized at the sight of that mountain of sins that stands before us? And how can we pay it? We have not a cent to pay it. Nothing good within us that ever could come before God. How good is God then, that the way that it has been paid is through His Son. Bring no money, no price. Come ye to the waters and drink, ye that are thirsty. The price has been paid. The price is Christ's blood. It comes again to the theme of the blood of the dear Emmanuel. We can see that panting soul as he opens up his mouth wide and says, Lord, that that blood may enter into my soul, into my conscience. There's that beautiful word in Hebrews 10. The effect of that blood being applied unto our souls. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Emphasizing over and over in each of the sermons that we're speaking in this time together, beloved friends, of the effect of that blood in the conscience. It's no imagination. Peace in the soul as that blood is applied to the conscience and that guilt is taken away of our transgressions. Oh, it is laid upon a dear Emmanuel's shoulders to bear. The filthiness of that heart and of the thoughts and of the ways of that child, oh, it is subdued by that blood of Christ. And the hardness of our spirits is melted by that blood of Christ, and we are thus constrained to follow him. To love Jesus is to live in Jesus. And to love Jesus is to know the power of Jesus' blood and of his mediatorial work in heaven. Do you know something, friends, of this dear Redeemer? Have our hearts been melted at times, from time to time, of those sacred visits of the beloved Savior, the gracious and loving husband of the poor sinful bride, the weak bride, the trembling bride, or the confessing, repenting bride? Have your hearts been melted from time to time as Jesus has come, and we may rest in his arms, as if sink into his arms and tell him how we love him? Oh, such a gracious Savior he is. Such a wondrous Savior, the wonders of redemption. Have we seen, friends, the power of the cross and the blood shed there for the dear Redeemer? Have we heard those ever gracious and precious words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? And do we not have to say from our very youth, we did not know what we were doing, destroying our souls and running recklessly in sin, not heeding the warnings of our conscience? Our conscience has warned us, did he not, from time to time? What art thou doing, thou foolish soul? But we disregarded its warnings, shut off all of the former teachings that we've had, running recklessly on in the paths of sin, getting our fill of the world. Oh, how solemn have these places been. But how gracious and merciful is that loving Savior. They knew not what they did. Think of the profound love of Jesus Christ and the work of Calvary. We would have destroyed our souls, and that one that is so touched by the reality of this truth falls down in wonder and amazement of the goodness of God to such a reckless sinner. In that sweet and sacred word of Christ on the cross, Father, forgive them. In Psalm 25, friends, there is something again that is confessed by David, and that the child of God will have to say, Lord, this is my path. As he lifts up his soul to heaven, he cries unto his Father and he confesses this ignorance. In the fourth verse, he says, Lord, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. As if he would say, all I've ever done was sin. All I've ever done is disregarded the commandments of God. I've plugged my ears to every prophet and unto the law of God and to the Psalms. I have plugged my ears unto every minister that came into the chapel to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know not the way of salvation. There they sit. They've sinned it all away and their eyes are closed. The gracious wisdom of Jesus Christ. Did not Paul say that? Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. And here David dropped into the dust of abasement. He knows he has no eyes to find Christ. He has no eyes to lead himself upon the pathway. Go look at John Bunyan in Christian and Pilgrim's Progress. He was forever wandering off the straight and narrow way. Oh, friends, do we need that teaching hand of God and that light from heaven? I am the light from heaven, Jesus declares unto his people. He was the life, and the life was the light of men. Is he such a light and is he such wisdom unto your hearts? And I say in the way of redemption, I have redeemed thee, O Israel. There's a precious word in Isaiah 44, friends, pertaining to this theme tonight. To the sinfulness of a sinner. Of the blood guiltiness of that sinner. Of the deep poverty of that sinner. And here it is of the rich instructions, that wisdom from heaven, of that soul that longs to know, am I one of thine, O Lord? Am I chosen from the never begun eternity? Hast thou, Lord Jesus Christ, died for my soul? Is that blood for me? All we see is sins, sins, and more sins in the blackness of our heart. And as the Lord, if it pleased in his wisdom, shows us deeper and deeper, we have to cry with terror at what lies even deeper in the recesses of our heart. More and more sin. Thus we cry out in alarm, Lord, undertake for me. And then to have this word spoken, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Friends, this is no imagination. These aren't things that we speculate on. This is the reality of true religion in the heart of a child of God, in the sinful bride who has displayed before her the alarming sight of what she is in the sight of a holy God outside of Jesus. Oh, she trembles in that word in the Hebrews, my God, if our God is a consuming fire. And to have such a word enter into our souls in reality and power, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. That is by living faith to see Jesus Christ crucified for me. That is to have that blood applied to the soul. That is to have that burden removed by by that living faith in Christ crucified. That is to say that that blood has truly cleansed me from all my sin. That is to stand up as Christian as a burden falls from our back. And to bless God for the wonders of his gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Where are my sins, declares such a liberated one. He stands there in wonder and amazement and looks at where those sins which so brought him down into the dust, so grieved his soul, so burdened his soul, so brought his soul into deep anxiety. Where are they? They are laid upon the Redeemer. He has paid the price of them. He has taken them upon himself and endured the Father's wrath to you for himself. Wonder of wonders. Is that not, dear friends, the deep goodness of God to fallen mankind? And did God have to do this? Was God obligated to save mankind? Did God not say at one time, I'll destroy this people and make a new people? It repenteth me that he had made man. But we know from the never-begun eternity he had a people to save. This poor bride who saw herself in her filthiness, who had before her sight her sins of her youth and the sins of her entire life. This poor bride who at God's appointed time would long to be saved by the grace of God and by that loving kindness of Jesus Christ. This poor bride who would fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and confess all of her sins to him. This poor bride who would confess that she was unworthy of his goodness. Unworthy that he should ever look upon her. But the same poor bride that would rejoice in Christ, her Savior. We spoke of the other night. My soul shall rejoice in my Lord. And my spirit rejoice in God, my Savior. There comes out that language of love, that language, that true language, and that true sincere love and adoration to Jesus Christ. Friends, do we possess such knowledge of the Redeemer and of his efficacious blood? Have we tasted of his loving kindness to enable us to sacrifice the things of this world to follow him? Has he enabled us through that love to him? Has he enabled us to seek only to find him and to be submissive to his will, to be cut off of this world and its goods? Seeking only Jesus to know? That goodness of God to maintain the way of the child of God in her path upon this life? I believe I repeat myself over and over. The hymn writer says, I had sinned my soul away 1,000 times a day had it not been for the goodness of God to sustain my soul, to bear me up, my drooping spirit. I had soon fallen away through the weakness of my flesh. Oh, the goodness of God in Jesus Christ, his Son. And coming to me in my places of despondency and sorrow and distress, and cheering my soul from time to time with his goodness and his mercy. Have the soul lifted up as a word drops into our spirit. I just experienced the other day. And those sweet words, I will not leave thee comfortless, I will come to thee. Do we not sing tonight again in our hymns, of that desponding, fearing soul? Oh, remember the goodness of God in his favors to us day after day. When we feel that faith is ebbing low, when we feel the fear rising up that God will leave us, that there is again more transgressions, pride or recklessness or indifference, and we feel that warmth and zeal leaving us, and we tremble because we know there's no good in us. We have to come, like Paul says, I know that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, the goodness of God then to come to us in our weakness, in our fearing ways, in our timid ways, and bear up our drooping spirits. What is this Jesus to us, beloved friends? Oh, may the Lord in his mercy, may the Lord in his mercy and his goodness and exceeding rich loving kindness touch each of our hearts in those two ways that we have tried to speak a little this evening hour. That he might show us again the solemn realities of our what we are in flesh, what we are in our own of our own on our own account. That it might drive us to time and again to need the Lord to sustain us. Carry us up in his precious arms, and to bear us in the times of troubles, and to counsel us in our deep distresses, and to comfort our hearts from time to time. This is that goodness of the Lord. And we taste something of it, and may our tongues be employed to speak of the goodness of the Lord in these visits of his, these sacred visits. And though we may, we will, time after time, we will contract fresh guilt. It must need, it's a needs be. We bear in our body, that mortal flesh, the effects of sin. Until our dying breath, We will continually sin. It is when the body dies and the spirit is lifted up unto him who gave it. Oh, when that spirit that has been blessed by God and purified, oh, visited by the spirit and taught the ways of salvation, it is when the body dies, then it shall be raised up in glory unto Jesus Christ. And until then, we will sin over and over and over again. We will have to come with this text word over and over. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercies, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. And may the Lord grant unto the child of God in our midst, that they may bless God for his goodness in sending his Son, that these transgressions are indeed moved away and removed and blotted out through his work and his work alone. And that will humble us into dust and will lift up songs of praises. And we will come with David in this psalm, unto thee, O Lord God, do I lift up my soul, thou who rules and reigns in heaven. And we will come to need that glorious advocate and precious mediator in heaven, Jesus Christ, him touched with the feeling of our infirmities, him who was touched with all those feelings, yet without sin. And there we will prize him and praise him for what we are full of, he is none of, without sin. And again, we see the goodness of God, that he took upon himself our sins, and he gave to us the righteousness of which we had none. That's that precious word in 2 Corinthians 5. Where it says, the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. Oh, what a wonder. All were dead in trespasses and sins. And then in the very end of that chapter, in the 21st verse, we read, he made him to be no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And dear friends, if we do not know this beloved Savior, if we do not know this love of Christ that constrains us, if we do know nothing of these confessions, of the awareness of our sins, if we do not know nothing of the removal of these transgressions and laid upon Jesus Christ, oh, how dreadful it is. May the Lord grant us then. May the Lord grant us by first time or by continuance this living religion, this living faith in Christ Jesus. And when we feel over and over again the power of that blood, that cleanseth from all sin. And so we shall be comforted from time to time and embraced in the arms of Jesus Christ, our dear Savior, and have faith in the goodness of the Most High God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Decker will preach again next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 155. The fountain of Christ, assist me to sing. The blood of our priest, our crucified King, which perfectly cleanses from sin and from filth, and richly dispenses salvation and health. Hymn 155.
how, dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our gathering together this night. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.